When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Brand Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And like all our guests, he joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears are time to play now, right? Haven't we been through all of it? Do you have a list of who gets fired or the name of the player cut every Monday? How is this going to work?
Well, I'll tell you what. They need to get back to the business of football. They need to get back on the field. And we're getting closer to that. The only way to put some of this behind them is to go out there and get a win, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is the ultimate deodorizer. And they need a victory in the worst way, especially in this instance against the Green Bay Packers, who have won 10 in a row in the series, 25 of the last 30 meetings, including the postseason. And just looking at the situation in the division, like, this is a gotta have it ball game.
So, Brad, you're Thomas Brown. You sit down with Caleb Williams. You talk about what you want to do. You're the offensive coordinator of a struggling offense. What does your to-do list look like in terms of priorities, 1 through 3 or 4?
Well, I think just looking to the game, you want to get the ball out of his hands more quickly, more efficiently than they have been. You want to immediately start reducing the number of sacks and the number of hits that he's taken. So schematically, what play calls are going to fit for that? What type of things could they do in terms of getting him on the move a little bit? Chris Beatty, the wide receivers coach yesterday, talked about, simple things to get the ball out quick so it's not him going through three progressions, right? Things that are going to take longer. I think that's the number one thing is getting the ball out of his hands quicker, trying to reduce the number of hits that he's taking. And then I think you got to run the football. You have to establish the run. Like, it is going to be really difficult for him to grow and develop when he's got to be a drop back passer 35 plus times a game because the run game isn't there and they're chasing. Like, they've got to be able to run the football a little bit and find some connections that you feel against the coverage you're going to get from the Packers. They've been playing more man, I think. Hey, here's a pretty good play call to get something dialed up for DJ Moore. Here's something to get Cole Kmet involved early. Like, they've just done such a just abysmal job of involving some of their top targets that maybe Thomas Brown will have a solution for that. But if we think that we're going to see the Bears offense run 65 plays on Sunday and we're going to be able to walk away from it and say, hey, yeah, it's fixed. It got rid of Waldron and everything's good. The chances of that happening, because we're going to be looking at a very small sample size, one football game, 4 quarters, very small.
All right. So, Brad, here's the thing. Like, maybe you've got a good idea for it. What is the formula
that leads them to victory. I mean, they obviously have to win the turnover, but this is like basic stuff. They got to figure out a way to not get the quarterback sacked. They got to get the ball out. They got to move the chain. I mean, it is 10 losses in a row to these guys. It is hard to come up with the way in which they're going to dominate this football game and win a game.
Well, when we get away from kind of the drama and the turnover and the change and all the stuff the Bears have had going on here that isn't directly related to this football game, the first place I start is that Green Bay Packers rushing attack, okay, and which has been fantastic to this point. Third in the league, nearly 155 yards rushing a game. They're fourth in the league in yards per carry, 4.98. Josh Jacobs, who you saw the contract that he got from Green Bay back in March, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of money. He's fourth in the league in rushing coming into this week. He's got 762 yards rushing. And through 9 weeks, that's the most by a Packers running back since Amon Green back in 2004. So they are pounding the ball up front. They won back-to-back games earlier in the season with Malik Willis at quarterback.
Yep.
Doing nothing but running the football. It was everybody in the stadium knew that they were going to be one-dimensional, and they went out and they ran the ball anyway and won. And you've seen Matt LaFleur, who's 10-0 against the Chicago Bears, with a quarterback advantage in every single one of those 10 meetings, just decide to pound the ball against the Bears before. Like four times he's done that where he walked away from the game and it was a run-heavy Packers attack. So with the Bears' run defense as it is, no Andrew Billings, who I thought the run defense was okay last week against the Patriots. That certainly was not the reason they lost that football game. I would expect the Packers to look to dominate at the point of attack.
Brad, on Thursday, the Bears placed Jaquan Brisker on injured reserve. Do you expect Brisker to play again this year? And was Ryan Poles slow for responding in responding and waiting till now to open up that roster spot?
Well, we got a couple of things there. Do I think we'll see Brisker again? I'd advise anyone against trying to handicap how things are going to go for players with head injuries. Like you just don't know. And he's eligible to come back after the next four games. The reality will be that if he does get that designated to return to practice after missing the next four games, it's going to take at least a couple weeks from a ramp-up standpoint for him to be able to play physically with, you know, the rest of his body, because he will have missed so much football, I would think. So I don't even want to venture a guess, and I would advise others that, you know, it's probably not a great exercise because you just don't know. Like, why did they wait till now to put him on IR? I think that obviously they felt like this wasn't going to take as long. But there's no MRI to read for this. There's, the athletic trainer and the doctor can't get together and look at a soft tissue injury and say, with a high degree of accuracy, this is a 4 to 6 week injury. This is a 2 to 3 week injury, which they can do for so much stuff that these players encounter. You can't do that for a concussion. Why didn't they put him on IR earlier? Well, they didn't need the roster spot. They've got a place, a handful of guys is inactive each week. They've got flexibility in terms of promoting players from the practice squad on a weekly basis. So nothing was really screaming, hey, they got to have this roster spot. Elijah Hicks has filled in pretty well for a former seventh-round pick in his place. And, it's unfortunate the biggest takeaway should be hopefully Jaquan's in a position where he feels okay sooner rather than later. I saw him in the locker room twice this week. I saw him yesterday. I saw him Wednesday. And I hadn't seen him with regularity before this week. And that doesn't mean he hadn't been in the building. I hadn't put eyes on him. So he is around. He's engaged. And, maybe with some good fortune, he'll be feeling better in the near future.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. We were talking about the kind of, is it an absurdity, whatever it was that Xavier McKinney felt DJ Moore somehow disrespected him and the things he, how will that matchup impact the game, Brad?
Yeah, well, McKinney had some, and McKinney's been playing fantastic for them, by the way.
We know you love this stuff, Brad.
Yeah.
The trash talk. Well, what DJ Moore did wasn't very defensible, okay? Like, I don't think you'll hear a lot of Bears teammates say, oh, yeah, that was cool, right? Like, I mean, we talked about it after it happened. You don't want to put that on film, right? You don't want to do that. And McKinney picked up on it, obviously, and he's like, hey, I've never seen that before. Well, who has? Who has seen it before? How will it manifest itself in the game? Hopefully, everything stays between the whistles, and we'll go from there. But this ought to motivate DJ Moore, though, right? Like, and he hasn't had a ton of opportunities here, just based on how the ball is coming to him. But is anything McKinney said not true?
Yeah, but I mean...
easily offended he is.
That's all I'm saying.
Very easily. A little touchy, Brad.
What DJ said in the offseason was utterly harmless, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, we'll see. And it's, the Packers have been able to talk for the longest time, remember?
Stop them, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, Charles Woodson used to... he'd have a crack or a one-liner about Jay Cutler, right? And there's only one way for the Bears to turn this, and that's to start winning with regularity in the series.
And the only way that happens on Sunday, Brad, I think, is if you want to find a pathway to victory for the Bears. It's got to include both tackles playing and playing well, and Montez Sweat being in the lineup and disrupting that offense for the Packers. Is Sweat, Braxton Jones, and Darnell Wright, are they all goes as far as you're concerned?
Oh, I would assume they're all go, yeah. Like, I think it's certainly tracking that way for the offensive tackles. Braxton having missed the last two games, and Darnell won. And then Montez Sweat was limited in practice yesterday, which was a good sign. We'll see later today if Tevin Jenkins, who's missed 2 days with his latest ankle issue, is able to play. Like, he's been able to get to Sunday this season. He just hasn't been able to finish enough ball games, but maybe he's in the mix there as well. Or they go with, Ryan Bates, who came back and played every snap this past week against the Patriots. But a path to victory, I agree. The tackles have got to be out there. Sweat's got to be out there. Jordan Love has... give the ball to the opponent more times than they're probably comfortable with in Green Bay this season. Bears would have to take advantage of that. They would have to win on special teams. Can they pull this off? I mean, it's possible, right? The margin for error is slim for them, I think, but it's the NFL. Anything can happen. Maybe. Well, the Packers coming off a bye, right? They're rested coming into this. Look at all the noise coming out of Lake Forest, and don't prepare with the attention to detail that's necessary. I mean, that happens to teams every once in a while, but I think where the Bears are a long shot. I saw one place yesterday that the line had come down to about 5.5, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if the Bears – I would have thought the bounce back spot would have happened. Yeah, I really thought that was going to take place, and we've just seen them so so flat in both games since the loss at Washington.
So you're picking the Packers? What's your pick?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, 25 out of the last 30, until further notice, you know, like, I'm not going to be fooled in this Bears-Packers thing again. They're going to have to prove it for me to decide it's time to start picking the other side. I picked the Packers to win 27-17, and I think I was a little generous with the 17. Maybe some more energy on offense with the change in coordinators gives them a little bump there. But I would think right now the Packers will be north of 160 rushing yards. And if they're able to execute on the ground, you would imagine that we'll open up some play-action passing opportunities for Jordan Love.
It doesn't sound like much of a Thomas Brown bump, Brad. It sounds like a Thomas Brown
17 out. Would be 17 with two offensive touchdowns, Dave.
That's not an explosion. That's not a big deal, Brad. That's not a lot.
Compared to where they've been the last 3 weeks, that's a big deal, my friend.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, know. Like we were talking about it, so in the offseason, or I guess in training camp, whatever it was, Montez Sweat said he was tired of losing to the Packers. You know, he would – a guy like that would need to put on like a King Kong show. You know, you'd need – honestly, you'd need like – and unfortunately – with
two sacks, a forced fumble.
Minimum two sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, big turnover.
Go crazy. Yeah.
No question. Or, you know, whether it's a strip sack or whether you force a pick. But, you know, I mean, as we were just talking about, you'd need like a defensive touchdown or a big special teams play. Or, yeah, I mean, you just have to come up with something special. And they have, as you say, since that failed Mary – they've had no life to them. I don't know how to define it, but man, is it it's just sad.
Did the Commanders play an inordinate number of games against Green Bay when Sweat was there? Cause he was around for one of those meetings last year. The first meeting last season was in week one. He was like, if he's tired of losing.
Yeah, imagine how everyone else is.
He lost the finale, right? That was the one up at Lambeau.
Right.
He was part of that.
Yeah, you had to, hey Montez, you had to go check with the chairman. His name's George. Ask him how he feels about losing to the Packers.
I'm sure that George gave Montez Sweat a urinal cake with the Packers logo on it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, those
wow.
You look around the area, and you'll find out where George has been dining.
Well, do something about it then. You know, they have to do something about it. You are the chairman. You have presided over, this is, the ninth or tenth offensive coordinator that he has seen call plays while during his tenure. Five coaches, four general managers. Enough with it.
Yeah, they got to go. They that's what I said at the open when you had me out. They've got to go out and turn this around with a victory,
yeah.
And a really well played game where they lose by 2 points. You're gonna be happy with some improvements that had them in a tight ball game, but a loss is gonna be a loss.
You know, Brad, and you know, thanks for jumping on, and we always appreciate your time. But just on the way out, let me just tell you that I think we all understand that. We all know how big a game this is and how much they could change things. But then when it comes time to figuring out how they do that, we all go like,
It's the mental gymnastics that are required, and you're just you can't play Twister in your head quite like that, right? You know?
You're right, Brad.
You're right, buddy. You'll pull
Joe
a Ford muscle.
Bought 740 or 745.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, 740, Brad.
Hey, are you going to watch the fight?
Yeah, I think I have to, right?
Yeah,
I'm just hoping it's not a deal where you get halfway through watching it, you realize that these guys had some wink, wink going on.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, that would never happen.
Not in the fine sport of boxing. And I'm really curious, like, what time are they actually
going to go off?
Going to fight, yeah. Like,
it'd be probably, honestly,
11:15.
Like 11 o'clock, yeah.
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 See, now that's a buzzkill.
Take a nap.
This undercard, I have no interest in.
No.
But I do want to see, because I want to see Iron Mike, and
who doesn't?
Yeah, he, at one point, he was the baddest man on the planet, right?
Oh, I think we remember those days. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad. See you Sunday.
Have a great weekend, guys.